This morning, we are going to take a break from our series on James. We'll be back there next week. But for today, for a few minutes, I want to challenge you and encourage you in this. A message I've entitled, Fix Your Thoughts. This past week, I did a few searches through all of my sermon files, looking for messages that contained key words to our thinking. There's a lot. There's been a lot of Sundays where we spent the morning considering how we think, considering what we think about. In light of that, I was left to wonder, are we all sort of slow learners around here? Or at least am I? Needing to be told again and again and again because it takes a while, takes a long time, a lot of messages, a lot of repeats to finally get it. I think especially as it relates to me, Jenny would be inclined to think it that for nearly 25 years, she's been telling me clothes go in the closet, not piled on top of my dresser. But in fact, even as we speak, there are a lot of my clothes not in the closet. They should be, but they're not. For nearly 25 years, Jenny has been telling me that I can, in fact, drive without speeding, tailgating, or excessively honking the horn. Full disclosure. No, don't clap for that, Carol. I see you leading the way and clapping for us. I'm not sure I agree with Jenny on this one. I think we have a different opinion on what's a good driver and what's not. But all the talk, the concerned, and more than a few dirty looks, which on a side note, I'm not sure it's right. I'm certain it's not biblical to give your pastor, the man of God, dirty looks. Another message, another day. I've not quite learned the lesson. May interest you to know I've done my best, taken it upon myself to do my best to memorize your car so that hopefully you never have to encounter this speeding, tailgating, horn-honking pastor of yours. I've also got the smile and wave backup plan to throw you off, make you think I knew it was you all along and was just wanting to say hi. It's true, though, isn't it? The lesson given once isn't usually enough. And really more than that, especially related to our thinking, I think this is true. It can be easy to forget what we heard, and maybe better to say, it can be easy to forget and fail to prioritize the importance of what we've heard. I think all of us would understand this is a never-ending battle that we're in. This battle in our mind. This battle for our mind. Win it today. Great. But you better be ready still to fight it again tomorrow. With something ever ongoing like that, isn't it true? We can get lazy. We can get lazy with our thoughts. We can get lazy with our thinking. We can become complacent. We can become distracted. We can let the guard down. We can let into our mind what should not be there. We can all too easily fall prey then all over again to the wrong kind of thoughts and the wrong kind of thinking and have need then all over again to fix our thoughts and to fix our thinking. This morning then, I guess simply to say it this way, whether slow to learn or simply needing to remember and prioritize again, a message today, fix your thoughts. The word is ruminate. It's an animal term. It's more the official term. It's more the scientific term for what cows and sheep, camels and giraffes do it as well. When we talk about them, chewing the cud. It's to chew what's already been chewed. It's to chew repeatedly and over a period of time. It's to chew over and over and over again. It's what some animals do, and it's what virtually all of us do, not with our food, but rather our thoughts. More specifically, the thoughts related to our worries, the thoughts related to our fears, the thoughts related to our problems, repeatedly, over a period of time, constantly rehearsing, thinking of that, thinking even only on that, over and over and over again. Everything that's wrong, everything we don't like, everything that angers us, everything that hurts us. The message this morning, fix your thoughts. The message this morning, there's another way. We don't have to ruminate on all that. We don't have to have our thoughts consumed by all that. All that would trouble us, all that would worry us, all that would upset us, all that would frustrate us, all that would discourage us, all that would scare us. Simply put this morning, we can fix our thoughts by fixing our thoughts on something different, something else. This morning, fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on your salvation. Fix your thoughts always and only on the trouble, and you'll be in trouble. Think on the good, and that's okay. It's better than the alternative for sure, which is thinking about the bad. But there's an even better option. Fix your thoughts on the good that is the gospel good news. Good. Scripture is clear. Romans 3, all have sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Paul goes into more detail in his letter to Titus. In Titus chapter 3, we were foolish and disobedient. We were misled. We were slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. In 1 John, we discover that God is the light. And in Ephesians, we're made fully aware. But we were children of darkness. That's not the good news, but for sure it's the truth. But then this, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. We know how dearly God loves us. This is how we know it. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Most people wouldn't die for an upright person, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Into our darkness, the light came. In response to our foolishness, in response to our disobedience, in response to us enslaved to our sinful lusts and pleasures, in response to our hearts filled and our lives consumed with hatred, in response to our evil, in response to our envy, God loved us and sent Jesus to die for us. That's the gospel. That's the good news, good, that ought to fill our minds, even every waking moment. Our thoughts consumed by that. In Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. And remember, we were sinful. Oh, how sinful we were. Those wages were our wages. Death was our destiny. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In your sin, when you were utterly helpless, foolish and disobedient, evil and wicked, even in fact an enemy of God. It was then when you and I were at our worst, when we were no good, when we were of no value whatsoever, it was then that God gave to us his gift, his most prized and most valued and valuable possession, if you will. He gave to you his son. When you least deserved it, he gave to you his best. gave you him so that he, Jesus, God's son, God's only son, whom God loved, he gave you him so that he could bear the punishment of God's wrath against your sin. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. That's too pretty. We weren't like sheep going astray. We didn't just turn our own way. We were filled with every sinful lust, pursuing every sinful pleasure imaginable. We were in the dark, consumed by the dark. We lived our lives in rebellion against God. We thought ourselves better than God. We thought ourselves better than him and his way. We didn't need him. We didn't need to live according to how he determined we ought to live. We'd gone astray for sure. Like sheep, we turned our own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You went the wrong way. You chose sin. You chose more the evil and the envy. You chose more the foolishness and the disobedience. And on him, God laid your punishment. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Christ suffered for you. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Jesus, God's Son, the gift of God to us. He was the perfect, he was the sinless, spotless Lamb. Maybe, though, we really need to include this with that. He was, except for when he was on the cross. He wasn't sinless there. Not because of his own sin, but because of yours, because of mine, because of our sin, because of all of our sin. Consider the horror of it for a moment. At Calvary, on the cross, all your sins were laid on him. All of them. Every single one. He took upon himself that sin. All those sins. Too many to count. Too shameful to mention. He took it all upon himself. And with each one, the punishment of God upon each one. And really, it's more than that. It's more horrific than just that. Because he took upon himself the sins of all humanity. All the sins of all the past. All the sins of the present. Just think of that for a moment. Even in the context of just even our own nation. All the sins that we see so prevalent in our society today. The sinless, spotless Lamb took it all upon himself. All of it was placed on him. He bore the punishment and the wrath of God against it all. The past, the present, and even still all the sins yet to come, all of it laid on him. All God's punishment, all God's wrath, for it all, for all sin, so that now we can be forgiven. Colossians chapter 2, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. He canceled the debt, which listed all the rules we failed to follow. He canceled the record of charges against us, took it all away by nailing it to the cross. Or in the words of the great hymn, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought." My sin, not the part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Oh, you say it like the hymn writer does, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Forgiven, free of all condemnation. There's none of that for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's the great verse of Scripture in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. As great as it is, the next might be even better. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And even still more, forgiven, free of condemnation, and clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As an accountant perhaps would consider the balance sheet of your life. For you, for me, Scripture is clear. The assets were minimal, even in fact non-existent. And the liabilities, the debt, too much, more than we could ever pay. But then Jesus, then his death at Calvary, and all of a sudden, the liabilities, the debt, the sin, it's all gone. Can you imagine that for a moment? Every debt, every bill that you have, it's paid, it's gone, it's done. The house, the car, the credit card, the debt paid, nailed to the cross. But not just that, not just the debt paid, but as well a deposit made. How did this get here? My assets that were nothing, now righteous, rich. I'll tell you how. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you confess your mouth that he's Lord, when you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, your name written in the Lamb's book of life, the Holy Spirit taking up residence inside of you, becoming a seal on you and a deposit within you, all your sins were forgiven and forgotten forever, and the righteousness of God became yours. He didn't just take away your debt. He made you righteous, rich by clothing you with himself and with his very own righteousness. Now, because of all that, because of what Jesus has done for us, sin is gone. Righteousness, his righteousness has come. We're set free from condemnation. We're saved from God's wrath. And so then, we are made right with him. We have peace with God now. We were once far away, but now we've been brought near. Or as Paul describes it in Romans chapter 5, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. And all that good news, all that gospel good news that we've received, though we did not deserve it. In 2 Timothy 1, God has saved us and called us to a holy life. not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus. Remember a few minutes ago from Titus, we were foolish, disobedient, misled, slave to lust and pleasure, lives full of envy and evil. We hated each other, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, was revealed, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus, and because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Because of his mercy, our sins have been washed away. Our sin debt, oh, Jesus paid it all. No wonder all to him we now owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he's washed us, made us to be white as snow. He's given us a new birth, new life through his Spirit. He's generously and abundantly given to us of his Spirit. Because of his grace, he's declared us righteous and granted to us the right even to eternal life. Redeemed and sanctified, saved from his wrath, spared from his condemnation. Once his enemies, we have now been made to be his friends. Don't you know it to be true this morning? That's the good news, good we're thinking about all the time. Do you remember? We used to sing it. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground. Do you remember what it does when we think about that? Even in the midst of the trouble, even in the midst of the frustration, the anger, the hurt, the pain. Oh, when I think about the Lord, you know it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Do you understand this morning? Ruminate on the wrong. Rehearse over and over the problem, the trouble, the discouragement, the difficulty. It won't make you want to shout. At least it won't make you want to shout, thank you, Jesus. But fix your thoughts on him. Listen to me. Oh, he saved you. He raised you. He filled you and healed you, picked you up. Up out of the mire and muck, he turned you around, set your feet on Christ, the solid rock, your ground. That will make you to shout. No matter what's going on around you, no matter even all that's happening to you, you'll be living with a continual shout of praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Everyone will be wondering what's wrong with the crazy Christian when they ought to be complaining. Instead, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor and the praise. He is. Church, isn't he? He is worthy. Isn't the Lamb worthy today? We fix our thoughts by fixing our thoughts on that. I'm just going to say it the way it is this morning. Some of you, your thoughts are too much consumed by what's going on in the world. When your thoughts ought to be consumed, what happened at Calvary? Too many of you too consumed in your thoughts. Your life's turned upside down. You're anxious, you're irritable, you're worried, you're afraid. Oh no, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Your thoughts consumed. You're ruminating too much. Chewing over and over again and again and again, repeatedly over time. It was that way yesterday and even still today and tomorrow. It'll be the same. and your life filled with anxious and worry and fear and all the rest. And I'm telling you this morning, you can fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on Jesus and what he's done for you in saving you. Fix your thoughts, number two, by fixing your thoughts on your identity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You aren't who you used to be. You've been made new, and you've been set free in Romans 6. We know that the old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. John chapter 1 and verse 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. We considered it a moment ago, once his enemy. Now because of Jesus, you've been made to be a friend of God. But really, it's better than that. He doesn't just call you his friend. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. As his child, consider this his word, his reminder to you. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us. Can I just put in the context of our message this morning? If God is my father. If God has invited me into relationship where I get to call out to him, Abba, Abba. And he calls to me in response, my son, my daughter. If God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare his own son, gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Oh, come on, fix your thoughts on this. Will trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any powers, height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate you, his son, his daughter, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are his child. That's your identity. And you are loved by the Father. That is your identity. In Galatians chapter 2, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Having put our faith in Christ, we now live our lives in Christ. Our identity in him. In him, we're made a new creation. In him, we're made to be God's child. In him, we cannot be separated from God's love. In him, we're free from any condemnation. In him, the evil one cannot touch us. In him, in Christ, we're delivered from the power of darkness. In him, we can escape the corruption of the world. In him, we are redeemed from the curse of sin and sickness and even poverty. In him, we're made complete. In him, we have all we need. In him, we have life, abundant life, real life, more and better life than we could ever dream of. In him, we're members of God's family. In him, we are a chosen generation, a holy people, a royal priesthood. In him, we're created to do good works. In him, we have a divine and an eternal purpose. In him, we're seated in heavenly places. In him, we're called to an eternal glory. In him, we have direct access to God's throne of grace and mercy. In him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. We can come boldly to him. In him, through him, because of him, we can do all things. In him, listen, we are the recipient of every spiritual blessing. Listen to me. You can fix your thoughts by simply fixing your thoughts on who you are in Christ. Think on that. Your identity. Your new identity in him. Who God says you are. Because Jesus died so that you could be all that he says you are. Is your faith in Jesus this morning? You're a new creation. You've been set free. Sin, death, hell, and the grave no longer have dominion over you. You're a child of the Most High God. You don't just have peace now with him. You're not just a friend. You're a son. You're a daughter. And your life is in Christ. And that, all that, is worth fixing our thoughts on. Fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on your inheritance. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. No matter how many the promises of God, the amen in Christ, the amen, the so be it, has already been spoken. The word of God, listen to me, dear brother, dear sister, listen to me, child of God. The word of God, the promises of God are yours. They're not just for the preacher. They're not just for the evangelist you see on TV. Not just for the missionary. Not just for the guy who can fill the stadium. They're for you. The word of God is for you. The promises of God for you. His word is promise. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Listen, you never have to go through even a moment in life, but that your mind can be fixed on this. God is in me, and God is for me, and God is with me. With that, then comes this as well. His word, his promise. What then shall we say in response to this? God's for us. Who can be against us? He who didn't spare his son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him, listen, graciously give us all things? You understand the picture presented, right? When you were a sinner, God gave you his best. Now you're his son. Now you're his daughter. I don't know how we picture it. I don't know if it's the right thing to say in light of us talking about Jesus. But as his son, as his daughter, now he's going to give you better than the best. He's going to graciously give to you all things. His word, his promise. He who began a good work will complete it. Hold on, dear brother. Hold on, dear sister. Listen, I speak to some in the room. Your mind is consumed. How long, Lord? How long? Your mind consumed. Maybe I got it all wrong. Maybe I never heard from the Lord. Maybe that was never his word. And I'm telling you, you can fix your thoughts today by fixing your thoughts on this. He who began a good work will bring it to completion. His word, his promise. Romans 8 again, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Don't you understand the need to fix your thoughts on that this morning? Fix your thoughts by fixing them on that. You don't need to be rehearsing all you're going through and dealing with. Listen, Why do you want to rehearse all that you're going through, all that you're dealing with, all that's hurt you, all that's upset you, all that's offended you, all that you can't understand? Why do you want to rehearse that when you could be rehearsing this, the good that God's going to do in it, from it, because of it, for you and even all those around you? His word, his promise. Mark 9, everything is possible for him who believes. His word, his promise, that's yours. That's your inheritance in him. Because it's yours, fix your thoughts by fixing them then on this. I can do all things through Christ. The message puts it this way, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. His word, his promise. Philippians chapter 4 as well. My God shall supply all my needs, all your needs, all our needs, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. You understand? If you have a need and all you're able to do is rehearse that need, you need to fix your thoughts this morning. You need to fix your thoughts by fixing them on this. He will provide for me. Don't you know it's true? We're good at letting our minds be consumed by our need. You know how often we miss his promise. But he'll be the provider. Can I ask you this morning, simply to put it this way? Why think about your need when you could be thinking instead about his promise to provide? You know how it works. Think about your need and you get frustrated. Think about your need and you get discouraged. Think about your need and the talk inside your head begins to be, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if this is going to get solved. I don't know if we're going to be able to fix this. What are we going to do if we can't fix this? How are we ever going to fix it? It's going to cost us everything to fix this. What if this sinks us? What if this takes us under? What if there's no recovery from this? You know how it is when you think about your trouble, when you think about the problem, when you think about the need. But I'm telling you this morning, you can fix your thoughts. My God will supply all my need. Is it a need that you have, my brother? Is it a need that you have, my sister? Then you can hold to this. Your God has promised to you his word. He will provide for your need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. His word, his promise. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You can have a joy that nothing in or of this world could ever take away. Listen to me. His word. His promise. By his stripes. You are healed. His word, his promise. I know it's hard to get our minds off the pain. I don't make light of your suffering or your struggle. But you have to understand, I have to say to you what I've said all message long. If your mind is consumed always and only by the pain, as horrific as it would be. If your mind is always and only consumed by the sickness, by what's wrong with you physically, by the doctor's diagnosis, listen to me. You need to fix your thoughts this morning by fixing your thoughts on this. Oh, but he's the God that heals me. It's his word. It's his promise. By his stripes, I'm healed. His word, His promise. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. That leads to the fourth thing this morning. Romans chapter 8 implies that there may be times when we experience trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, danger, and calamity. There may be times, Romans chapter 8, when we experience hunger, when we're destitute, penniless, and homeless, threatened with death, hunted down, destroyed, stabbed in the back, bullied by threats. Paul sums up all that potential danger and trouble that we might experience in life by saying this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 36, as it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And yet, Paul, after listing all that trouble, all that hardship, all that potential persecution, famine, danger, calamity, hunger, penniless, homeless, threatened with death, hunted down, destroyed, stabbed in the back, bullied by threats, sheep for the slaughter. The Message puts it this way, we're like sitting ducks. After all that, Paul then concludes with this, yet in all these things, one more time, Paul, what things in all the trouble, in all the hardship, in all the persecution, famine, danger, calamity, hunger, penniless, homeless, threatened with death, hunted down, destroyed, stabbed in the back, bullied by threats, in all these things, you know it, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. One translation says it this way, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. We are more than conquerors, destined to march our way through this life, all the ups and downs. We are destined to march through in triumphal procession in Him. Ours is to be a victory parade march through this life. No, Pastor, you don't understand what's happening in my family. Pastor, you don't understand where I'm at financially. Pastor, you don't understand what the doctor has said. No, dear brother, dear sister, your mind consumed by those things. You need to fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on this. In spite of all that, yours is a victory parade march through life. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, for if by the trespass of one man death reigned, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace, you've received His grace. You, my brother, you, my sister, you're a child of God. You're one of the ones being discussed here in Romans chapter 5. You're a recipient of God's grace and the gift of His righteousness. Listen. How much more will those, that's you, how much more will you reign in life through this man, Jesus Christ? Your victory is such that your destiny and your calling is to reign in this life. No, you're not a victim. No, not woe is you. No, not what a loser you are. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. With Christ, you reign. You have victory and you are victorious. Fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on that. It's true in life and for life, even as well in death. We have the victory. That leads us to the last thing this morning. Fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on your destination. Heaven is our home. And oh, I believe it. We will be there soon. Let your thoughts be consumed by here. There's only trouble here. And so no wonder then your thoughts consumed by trouble, reflected then in the trouble you feel, and the trouble that's expressed, and the worry, and the fear, and the anxiousness, and all the rest. Oh, but you know it there. There's no trouble there. No sorrow, no suffering, no sickness, no sin, no pain, only joy forevermore in the presence of God forevermore. Fix your thoughts on that. Fix your thoughts on there. Fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on there and away from here. Maybe in the end this morning, all that to simply say this. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. My prayer this morning is that you would. That you would fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on all God's done for you. Who you are because He has. All that you have because He has. The life of victory you can live now because He has. And where you're headed because He has. And listen to me, I believe it this morning. Even no matter all that there might be in your life, I don't make light of it, but I declare it to you this morning because I believe it. Even no matter all that there might be in your life that would bother you, that would upset you, that would frustrate you, no matter it all, no matter all that there might be that's not right, that hurts you, that discourages you, troubles you, worries you, scares you, fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on Him, and I believe it. You can and you will leave this place strengthened and encouraged in Him. Come on, some of you already know it to be true. You came in here with the trouble of this world consuming every thought. But now you've set your thought on what Jesus has done for you, how He saved you, how He's raised you and filled you and healed you. You've begun to set your thoughts on who you are because of Him, all that you have because of Him. The promises of God are for me. This word is for me. All the promises, the amen, the so be it, spoken to me and for me, the life of victory that you have, where you're headed because of what He's done. And already you sense it. The strength and the encouragement that comes from fixing your thoughts by fixing your thoughts on all that. But still even more, listen to me now. If you can do that today, you can do it tomorrow. You can fix your thoughts by fixing your thoughts always on Him. You'll leave here today and you'll live each and every day then strengthened and encouraged in Him. Father, I pray that you would help us in that this morning. Holy Spirit, would you help us to fix our thoughts today? The trouble, the hardship, even the sickness, the pain, the suffering, the financial trouble, the relational trouble. We're not going to be negligent in dealing with those things. We're not going to be flippant or casual in seeing that those things are resolved in our lives. But this morning we just determined we're not going to let our thoughts be consumed by that. Instead, in the words of Hebrews, Jesus, we're going to fix our thoughts on you. Lord, you know it. You know it's my prayer today. That your children, my brother, my sister in this room, is strengthened and encouraged in you. Lord, I pray it. I pray that they've heard today what Jesus has done for them. I pray that they've heard it today who they are, who you say they are. I pray that they've heard it, that their ears have been opened to hear it, that God, your promises are for them. I pray that they've heard it today. Victory is theirs. No matter how they feel, no matter how they view themselves, they are more than a conqueror. They are an overcomer. Lord, I pray that they hear it today, the reminder. Oh, our home is getting closer and closer. We are nearing home each and every day. May my brother hear that. Brother, hear that this morning. May my sister hear that. Sister, hear that today. And I pray, God, as they do, that their hearts are strengthened and encouraged in you. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. He broke it and gave thanks to his disciples then and to us today. This is his body broken for us. His body broken so that we might have healing and wholeness. I pray that for you this morning. The bread is but a symbol of his body that was broken. But I pray that even as we would partake it together today, there would come healing to you. If your heart needs healing this morning, he's the healer. If your mind needs healing this morning, he's the healer. If your body needs healing, he's the healer. If your relationships need healing, if your marriage needs healing, if your relationship with a son or daughter grown distant or maybe even non-existent, he's the healer. His body broken so that he could be your healer. He's your healer today. Lord, thank you for the bread. And I believe it in faith. In faith believing, I declare it, that as we partake of this bread, there will come healing virtue that would flow through this room. Healing virtue to flow through this place. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he took the cup and gave thanks. This is his blood, so that we can have forgiveness, so that our relationship with God can be made right. Oh, aren't you glad for the blood this morning? Power enough to wash away all our sins. Lord, we thank you today for the forgiveness that is ours. It wasn't fair. It was the greatest injustice in all of humanity, that God would take from us our sin and put them on you. That's just not right. And yet, it's so divinely perfect. How else can we have life? How else can our sins be forgiven? How else can we be restored in relationship with you? And so today we thank you. Oh, we thank you for the blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' name, let's take the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand to your feet? Would you just take a moment? Would you thank him? Oh, thank him for the cross. Thank him for his broken body. Thank him for his blood. Thank him that heaven is your home because Jesus is your Savior. Thank you that victory is yours. Come on, some of you might not feel it this morning. You might not be thanking it. You need to just thank God for the victory that is yours. Lord, we don't feel it. We don't know how, when, where the victory is going to happen or come from. But we know, in accordance to your word, our thoughts this morning are fixed because they're fixed on this. We are more than conquerors. We are the victors and we are victorious. And so we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the promises that are ours. Come on. Just begin to recount the promises of God. He's with me. Yes, he is. He'll never leave me or forsake me. He is my healer. He is my provider. Hallelujah. We thank you for the promises of God that are ours. We thank you for who we are in you. We're children of the Most High God. What are we going to be afraid of? We know who our Father is. There's nothing that can come against us. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And oh, how we thank you. Oh, none of it would be ours were it not for this that we can thank you for. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you that while we were yet sinners, oh, Christ Jesus died for us. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. My brother, my sister, I pray today that you are encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. We fix our eyes on these things. We could fix our eyes on other things. We could fix our eyes on this thing. Fix our thoughts. I know we could think other things, but fix our thoughts on this. Oh, I believe it. We'll be strengthened and encouraged in the Lord. Be strengthened and encouraged in Him. I pray that you would be. And I pray the Lord's blessing over you this morning. Would you extend your hands to receive it? As under shepherd, the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly, in accordance to God's word, his command, so that his people would be blessed and live in his blessing. I declare it over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, receive that blessing. Say amen this morning. Amen. Amen.